Well, after this beginning of an experience of the upper room, there are brothers, young brothers, who have come into the community. Is it due to the upper room or not? We don't know. But the challenge that we have to face, had to face, is to present religious monastic life not only to a new generation, but a new culture. Young people who come, who are 35 years and less, come to religious life, are young people who never knew a world without the internet. So the brain works differently. The social relationships differently. There's another technology. So everything's different. It's a completely different culture. How would these young people, in turn, adopt traditional monastic life? Well, we have to be aware that monastic life has always changed over the years, over the centuries. But the changes were made slowly over many generations. Medieval monasticism is not the same as the 16th, 17th. 17th is not the same as the 19th. 19th is not the same as us today. But these changes were done over a whole 100 years. Now there's an acceleration in terms of change. It's much faster. We have to adapt to a new generation. We don't know yet exactly what this will produce. There are changes that we can see. For example, the relationship to work and leisure is not the same. In our generation, work was at the heart and leisure was secondary. At a certain level, some work became even leisure for us. When we love our work, we continue over an evening and the week and the weekend. But that's not the case at all for a young generation. Work is work, and it's a burden, and leisure is something else. So they're really two different worlds. We have a monastic life with has work. The weekend, which is more weekend, the brothers do the work that they want to do. But for young people, they don't do the work. No, the work is during the week, and the weekend, there's no work. So it's up to us to see how people look at this differently, and the balance of the values are different in this case. So that's my first example. Second example, fraternal life. Our generation, up to the 2000s, we entered four religious spiritual life and prayer. For us, it's the heart. Around prayer, there are other values, of course, solitude, separation with the world, community goods, the work, leisure, silence, etc. But the reason for this was prayer, the relationship to God. We now see that for the young people, 35 years and less, from 2000 on, the heart is fraternal life. And fraternal life that's warm. They want a warm fraternal life. So physical contact, sharing, leisure together, all this is, there have to be lots of proximity, a lot of closeness. It's very important for them. And what they're looking for is that. When we looked around for a community, if I can say this, does this community have intense prayer life? Does this correspond to my understanding of prayer? Can my prayer life fit into that community as they're living it? Now today, what the young people are looking for is, do those people love each other? So the point of departure is very different. The focal point is very different. Around that, this warm fraternal life is the reality of prayer, of course. Leisure, work, solitude, hospitality, and everything else. But the heart is not there. That's not the core. So it's a major challenge for us as a traditional community to re-examine the hierarchy of the values that we have, to place charity at the heart, fraternal life at the heart. That allowed us, as I say, to dare have breakfasts without silence, to dare have community sports and other things of that nature, to allow the young people to see that, yes, we pray, yes, we are separated from the world, yes, we have contact with society, but mostly we are people who serve one another, and charity is the core of our life. So that we've changed things that way. Third change that we had to produce or make in among us is the whole question of the social media. The internet, iPhone, Twitter, etc. Well, this raises a lot of problems for us because by definition we're separated from the world. And the world comes now with open doors through these social media. We are aware that the young person who was born after the invention of internet has not known anything else. And to tell them when they come in, you have your telephone, you put your telephone at the door, you put your computer at the door, and there's no question of bringing all these things into the religious life. We can't do that. It's as if we were told, our generation, books? No, you can't bring any books in. You do the whole devotion, you're not going to read. You know, I mean, that's the same nature of a challenge that we are offering them. So, as with the novices, I think that in the formation, it's not a question of saying we're going to cut this or cut that, because I know that once there 2 or 3 years occur, and we start allocating responsibilities in the community, people will use these instruments because you can't do without. Everything is done through computers and internet now. So if you haven't learned how to manage this universe, and you were set aside for a certain time, you're stuck if you're asked for responsibilities. So this challenge, and this is an authentic challenge, is to manage now this phenomenon. So the young person arrives with all their computer gizmos, and so what do you do? If the young person becomes aware of their situation, what is the real challenge of solitude in our lives? How to live this out today? They'll firmly say, Facebook? No, I don't need Facebook. Can I take it out? Can I eliminate it? Yes, you can eliminate it. But you will decide to do that, because you are becoming aware that, in fact, it is an obstacle for religious, for monastic life. And I'm not going to take the decision for you. You need to take it. And then slowly we go with up different things, and we maintain that which is essential. But the young person manages his life. It's easy to say this, of course, but it's very difficult for a young person who always has his tools at hand, can't live without these gizmos in his own life, to eliminate them. It's almost impossible. So I encourage them, I try to motivate them, saying, look, at night, before praying, just to help you, you put your things on the community table, and you won't touch them before whatever time next morning, to wean you slowly on these tools. Because the young person today, when they go to bed at night, if he doesn't have his phone, he's lost. His telephone is his little teddy bear, and he needs his teddy bear. So how to sleep without, how do you sleep without having buds in the ears and a little screen in the eyes. Until sudden, oh, they fall asleep. No, we used to have books to do that with. We used to read some deep authors to fall asleep at night. So this needs to be changed also for them. So if the young person who's used to go onto internet to 11, 12 at night, and will have to wake up at 4:30 next morning, does without his gizmo. So that's a challenge for all the monastic communities at this time. We took a very broad option. We're not sure it'll work. We're trying. Other monastic communities say, no, you're closed from, there is tools available in a particular place and another, and from time to time. And your number of your contacts with the public are from time to this time to that time. And there are other challenges also that are facing us, of course.